Morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. As we say each Sunday, it's a place that God has provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The Learning Channel presented a new show on March the 7th of this year entitled My Crazy Obsession. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I have not, but I've read about it. And My Crazy Obsession is a program that reveals people with some of the most extreme and unique obsessions. The series takes viewers behind the scenes and into the homes of the owners dedicated exclusively to their infatuation with objects or persons or lifestyles. These individuals go to great, great lengths to preserve the quality and authenticity of their unique possessions and their daily routines. For the first show, they were talking to a couple who had collected more than 5,000 dolls. For the first time, they were allowing cameras to document their secret world of unbelievable, one-of-a-kind treasures and sometimes bizarre, never-before-seen habits and rituals. And it revealed the money and the time and the effort required to fulfill and maintain these unique passions. Now, this couple that had over 5,000 dolls would, with their favorite doll, Kevin, at their sides, they would schedule play dates with other doll collectors and discuss their newest additions to their collections. Some of the other addictions that are to be aired on the program includes a woman who is obsessed with the color pink, a collector of mannequins who likes them better than real people, a wig lover who owns more than 2,000 wigs, and a squeaky clean couple whose idea is of a date night is to admire their collection of washing machines. I believe that we'd all have to agree that some people have odd and crazy collections, obsessions, I should say. And as a matter of fact, many of us here today have crazy obsessions. Now, I know what you're going to think. In your mind, you are saying, I certainly do not have crazy obsessions. I don't indulge in such things. But let me tell you that it is crazy when we are so obsessed with anyone or anything that we place it or them above Jesus. I'm talking about whenever we skip Sunday school or worship or midweek Bible study or skip our prayer time or our daily devotions or business meetings at God's house or when we skip any time with God. I'm talking about whenever we choose a hobby, a job, entertainment, recreation, or even family over God. Anytime we do that, anytime we choose anyone or anything above our relationship with Jesus, it's a crazy obsession. And there are certain steps that we need to take as Christians in order to place and to keep Jesus the number one priority in our life. And the first step is to give it up. Just give it up. Has the Lord asked you to give up anything in particular? Most of us here would answer no. We say no because we really have not thought about the question. Many so-called Christians don't realize that Jesus asked us to give up everything. Not one specific or two specific or three specific things. Jesus says, when you follow me, you must give up everything. And as a follower of Jesus, we are to do that. To give up anything which prevents us from focusing totally on Him. And the men in our text today learned to give it up. If you'll look with me at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we will see the example that I'm talking about. That's Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Please follow along in your Bible as I read. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Place yourself in this story. What would you have done when Jesus spoke to you? Some of us might have chosen to keep on fishing because we needed to earn some money. We had a family to feed, a family to support. Some of us might have chosen to leave our nets and just walk away from this man called Jesus. Some of us might have chosen to ignore Jesus and stay in the boat with our father and continue to throw our nets into the lake. And we can substitute anyone or anything in the place of following Jesus. And whenever we substitute, be it a person, be it a thing or an activity, Jesus wants us to give it up. You remember in another part of the New Testament where the man wanted to follow Jesus and one said, but I've got to go home and tell my family goodbye. I've got to bury my father. And Jesus says, no, if you're going to be my follower, you come with me. I'm talking about giving up whatever drives our lives, whatever controls our lives, whether it be a job, whether it be a hobby, we have got to give it up. What type of relationship we desire with Jesus is not the question to be asked. The question is, what type of relationship does Jesus want with us? Most of us don't have the type of relationship with Jesus that we should have because we are so driven by our own selfish desires. We don't think of our commitment to Jesus, but each of us has been given a ministry by God. It may be a ministry to serve within the church. It may be a ministry to serve within the community outside the church. Regardless of what the ministry is, God has called us to serve. And Jesus desires for us to have a serving relationship with Him. He calls us to leave the worldly things, the crazy things with which we have an obsession. He desires us to be totally obsessed with Him and with serving him. So remember, the crazy obsession in our life is anything which keeps us from being a true disciple of Jesus, and we just need to give it up. Second, we need to be dependent upon Jesus. We need to learn to depend upon him. We must learn that without Jesus, we have no strength. We are weak. We need him and his strength to help us. But to receive Jesus' help, we must trust him with our lives. We can't say, well, no, I'll do that, Lord. I can handle that. I know you probably could, but I'm more familiar with the situation, and I can take care of that. We must trust him implicitly. If we wish to live the best life possible, we must learn to be dependent on Jesus. We must humble our attitudes in order to humble our hearts, and if we do not, then everything is lost. You know, all the people to whom Jesus spoke fell into three categories: the curious, the convinced, and the committed. And the men in our text, Peter and John and Andrew and James, who left their nets, who left their boats, who left their father, were not just curious. They were way beyond convinced. They were totally committed to placing Jesus first in their life. The curious attend church. They want to know what's going on, yet they do not attempt to become involved in the church. They show up physically, but they don't show up spiritually. These people will be forever on the outside looking inside. The convinced are dedicated. They come to church. They become involved in church. They serve on committees. They teach Sunday school classes. They know God is real. However, since they are not willing to give up their worldly obsessions, they can only know about Jesus. They can never know him personally. They're too obsessed with the here and now rather than with what Jesus can offer them for eternity. The convinced know what Jesus is asking of us, yet they're not willing to totally accept his call. They want to skate through life just barely getting by, to doing the bare minimum. They're much like a disobedient child. They know they're doing wrong, but they don't care to change their ways. Now, the committed, they are the ones who have a definite purpose, who have made a decision to walk with Jesus no matter what the consequences. The mark of a committed Christian is dependence on Jesus, allowing him to lead no matter what the direction. And that brings us to a good point, that statement does, because that leads to the next step in order to give Jesus number one priority in our life. We must learn to stop attempting to lead ourselves and let Jesus lead us. There are too many people in the church today who like to sing, "Wherever I lead, he'll go," rather than saying, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." We have a crazy obsession with our own importance. But the truth of the matter is, we have no importance without Jesus in our lives. So we must stop attempting to lead God into the pursuit of our desires. We must let him lead us into the pursuit of His desires for our life. And if we would do so, the mission fields would be full. Our church pews would be full. Our lives would be full. We would stop seeking happiness from any source other than Jesus. If we are willing for Jesus to lead, then just where will He lead us? Well, God only knows that. He might lead us to become involved in the community or more involved in our church. He might lead us to completely change our lives. He could lead us anywhere. Yet one fact is certain. If we are willing for Jesus to lead, if we turn the reins over to Him, He will lead us to give up the crazy obsessions which keep us from Him. Jesus needs people who are willing to follow Him to the ends of the earth. And I could tell you that making this type of commitment to Jesus would not affect your fishing trips and your golf outing and your entertaining at home and going to the lake and your kids' ball practices and kids' games and your going to the races and all those things. But I would not be telling you the truth. It would simply be a lie. Because when you put Jesus first, all of these things drop down on the list of priority. Does it mean you give them up? No. It just means they take second place rather than Jesus taking second, fourth, fifth, tenth place in your life. Being a dedicated Christian requires that type of commitment. And those who wish to live with God but yet do not wish to relinquish the things of this world will never fully receive all that Jesus has to offer. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called to the mission field, but God will call you to serve Him in some way. And if you put that second and third and on down your list of priorities, judgment day will come and you will have to answer to Him. You won't have to answer to me. You won't have to answer to the deacons or to your Sunday school teacher or your spouse or your parents. You have to answer to God. When God calls, into what category will you fall? Will you be curious, convinced, or committed? Jesus came to this earth to atone for our sins, sins for which we could never pay the price. And He wants us to follow Him with our life because He gave His life for us. But to do so, we have to give up those crazy possessions and put them way down on the list. When we follow Jesus, we must realize that there can only be one leader and it's not us. As much as we would like for it to be, it's not us. It's Jesus. He is our leader. He must be our leader fully and completely, or He's not in our life at all. Jesus has a job for us to do. He wants a relationship with us more than just a casual acquaintance on Sunday mornings for an hour. He wants us to realize that without Him, we have no strength, we have no hope, we have no comfort, and we have no life. Without Jesus, we are obsessed with worldly activities and people which keep us from God and His will. So the question is, today, those of you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, are you going to rearrange your priority list? Not at the end of the month, not at the end of the fiscal year, not at the end of the calendar year, but are you going to rearrange your priority list today and say, Lord, forgive me for putting you down second, third, and fourth? And for those of you who haven't accepted publicly, or made a public acceptance of the gift of salvation. What a wonderful day to do so. You've made that decision in your heart and mind. We invite you to come forward and share it with us publicly. And if you want to discuss membership here at this body of believers, I'll discuss that with you. As we sing our hymn of invitation, number 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.